You may be seated. Good to see everyone here tonight. We are continuing in this subject, the Godhead, which is really the headship of God over all. And I know it's taken us a while to get to where, but it's going to be, we're going to get there tonight, but next week is going to get us into familiar territory. Genesis 2 and 4 tells us of the generations of creation was created by YHWH. Everybody say YHWH. Genesis 2, 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord, or YHWH, God, made the earth and the heavens. The word L-O-R-D, this capital L-O-R-D in this verse is not Jehovah, but Y-H-W-H, which is four Hebrew letters. I do not know the Hebrew pronunciation of these letters, and neither do the Jews. Neither did they know the pronunciation of these letters. Aaron didn't know them. Moses did not know them. It was just YHWH. This is the first time in Scripture, Genesis 2 and 4, that this name is used in Scripture. And here is the problem. It is used as Jehovah. Please hear me. Jehovah is an extra biblical name. It is not a name that God gave himself. It is an extra biblical name that man gave to God, trying to fill in the space between the consonants, YHWH, with vowels. We don't know the vowels, how they fit in there. God, we'll find out later on, is just YHWH. Because man, or the Jew, was so fearful of violating the commandment that thou shalt not blaspheme the name of the Lord, that name was lost. It was supposed to have been said only one time a year when the high priest went into the holiest of holies, sprinkled blood upon the mercy seat. But it was lost in its pronunciation. They don't know, we don't know, but they put vowels between these letters and called it Jehovah. Or what we call Yahweh. We don't know if that's it or not. Sounds good. I mean, we've become accustomed to it, but it's an extra biblical name. And so, to prove that I'm not making this up, there's a bunch of stuff we could read tonight from word dictionaries, Bible dictionaries, and all kinds of stuff. But the Complete Word Study Bible Dictionary says this, among other Bible dictionaries. This word, YHWH, refers to the proper name of the God of Israel, particularly the name by which he revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 2 and 3. The divine name has traditionally not been pronounced primarily out of respect for its sacredness. Also, it is hard to pronounce a word with only consonants and no vowels. However, until the Renaissance, it was written without vowels. In the Hebrew text of the Old Testament being rendered as YHWH. However, since that time, the vowels of another word, Adonai, has been applied in hopes of reconstructing the pronunciation. There's a reason why God revealed it as YHWH, because it wasn't revealed yet. Although the exact derivation of the name is uncertain, most scholars agree that its primary meaning should be understood in the context of God's existence. Namely, that he is the I am that I am, the one who was and is and will always be, according to Revelation 11:17. Older translations of the Bible and many of the new ones employ the practice of rendering the divine name in capital letters, as in L-O-R-D, not Jehovah, so as to distinguish it from other Hebrew words. So in the King James, when Adonai is being translated, it is a capital L and then a lowercase letters of O-R-D. You can look in your Bible. When it has capital L, lowercase O-R-D, it's translated as Adonai. Well, or sometimes Jehovah, but when you see the capital L-O-R-D, capital L, capital O, capital O-R-D, it is Yahweh or transit. It says Y-H-W-H, but it translates Jehovah. If God, this is the way the translators did this without using an unbiblical name. If God did not add those letters, and we cannot find anywhere in the Bible that God said add those letters, then I personally believe there is a problem adding these letters, because we don't know. The problem is we have created a God whose name is not a name he has claimed. The I am God is the one who introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush. Exodus 3:14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The word I am, all it means is to exist, to be or become, to exist. Everybody say, I am means to exist. Say, it means to be or become. All right, we kind of fell off, but that's okay. Everything that is outside of creation is all God and nothing else. Since there is no space or time outside of creation, there is only one way to define or measure God, and that is existence. I am. I don't get all of it, but he exists. Jehovah, Yahweh, YHWH, it means the self-existent one. He exists all by himself. He is the I am, the one to exist. Now, I'm approaching 70. I know the clock is ticking. I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning. It is just the way it is. But because he is the I am, there is no clock ticking for him. And if I am in him and he is in me, it doesn't really matter if I am in this body or not, as long as I'm in him. It does not really matter, because he is the self-existent one. We're going to do a lot of talking tonight. And there is nothing or nobody who can resist him. They can't. It's impossible. Any resistance that seems like it is going on is permitted for a very short time, and it is for his purposes. I don't understand all of God's purposes. But I do know one thing: you and I can't make God do anything until it's his time, unless it's according to his purpose. And I will always say this: God will never manifest his power except to fulfill his purpose. And we can try to force God and make God to manifest his power. He's not going to do it until it's time to fulfill his purpose. And you can't make God do anything until his time. I'm learning that the hard way. So some of these purposes is to reveal to ourselves our real attitude and spirit towards him. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Y-H-W-H. I change not. I'm changing. Even as you stand here and look at me, I'm changing. It may be imperceptible, but it's a fact. Something is changing. God is unchangeable because change is a function of time. And God is before and after time. He is beyond time. We read last week, Genesis, in the beginning God created. Not in the beginning of God. In the beginning when time started, God was before time, and when time ends, because it is a creation and there will be an end to time, there will still be God. God is unchangeable because change is a function of time. Storms change the landscape of Beaumont. Storms change the landscape of the world, the shifting of the sands and the tide in and out. They're finding oceans, there's deserts now where oceans used to be. They're finding seashells on the top of mountains. This earth is in a constant state of upheaval, but God is beyond time and he will never change. He can't change. He won't change. Whoever and whatever he is now, he has always been and will always be, and God cannot be anything different. I really want to know him and understand him. There's a scripture I hold on to, and that is one of the reasons God fills you and I with the Holy Ghost is to lead us into all truth. I just don't want partial truth. I want all truth. And God said that is a promise that he will lead me and guide me into all truth. I want to know and understand God. But I'm running out of time. So because the I am lives in the limitless, the infinite, there is no time. That's where God lives. Can't wait till we get to next week. That's where God lives. There is no time. Because change is a function of time, therefore God cannot change. Everything he is right now, he has always been, he always will be. What God is right now, he was. I don't know how many ones and how many thousands of zeros you can put after the one. He was the same then. He's the same now. He's the same 20 million years from now. He can't change. He is the same. He is the same. He cannot increase in knowledge or wisdom. Do you know why? Because there is nothing more for him to learn. He cannot become more powerful because there is no power for him to gain. He cannot become more holy because he is as pure as he can possibly get. He cannot become or have more love because love is defined as him. He can't change. Nehemiah 9:6, thou, even thou, art Lord, capital L-O-R-D-Y-H-W-H. Even thou art Y-H-W-H all alone. If you truly read the scripture from a spiritual standpoint and let God talk to you, I'm telling you, all you find is one God from Genesis to Revelation. There's just one. He's all alone. I'm going to tell you something. You can't go downtown by yourself with somebody with you. You either got somebody with you or you're by yourself. Thou, even thou art Y-H-W-H alone. Yes, he is Lord alone. If the I am exists outside of creation, there is no place for anyone else to exist. I want to say that again. If the I am exists outside of creation, you and I don't exist outside of creation. Only God can exist outside of creation. And outside of creation, there is no place for anyone else or any God or anything to exist. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. 2 Chronicles 6:18. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? And Solomon, this was part of his prayer. He said, this house I built can't contain you. The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, O God. Why? You exist before time. You exist after time. In fact, you exist out of time. And this little house I built in all of its beauty and splendor and glory can't contain you. Now, we call this building the house of God, this little 6725 East Tex Freeway. And this little building we're renovating and constantly trying to manicure and upgrade and do things to. We call it the house of God, but scripturally, this is a building nothing more dedicated to God, but it is not His house. Some people are more worried about a building than the true house of God. Be horrified if somebody vandalized the inside of this building, wrote graffiti on it, punched holes in the wall. Just be terrified and just, oh my God, I can't believe somebody do that. But you don't. But you can go talk about somebody in the house who is the house of God and tear them down and rip them apart. That is the house of God. We have no problems getting in fusses and tiffs and personality clashes with each other and tearing each other up when we are the true house of God. I want to get us to think and help us get free from the imprisonment of our traditional concepts that are not biblical. Solomon said it, the house I built cannot contain him. Why? Because the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. So we must understand how amazing it is that you and I are called the temple, the house of the Holy Ghost. That's amazing. We treat it as though it's not, but it is amazing. How can this be? Ecclesiastes 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He hath set the world in their heart. Everybody say, the world is in my heart. That word world simply means eternity. God had put in the heart of every man, woman, young person, and child eternity. Then He said, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. What does this mean? From a spiritual perspective, God put an infinite, eternal emptiness in the heart and soul of every created human being, and only He, the infinite one, can fill. He's the only one that can fill it. Eternity is only measured, is only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. We talk about eternity. It's only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. We know everlasting, forever, and those words. But in the entire Bible, eternity is only mentioned one time, and it's found in Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Eternity means perpetuity, continuous existence. Whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He inhabits eternity, and what God has placed in every human being, eternity. And this is why you and I are the only ones individually and collectively able to be the house of God. We're the only ones collectively, individually, are we able to become the house of God, not a building. This building or any other building that is called a church doesn't have eternity built in it. I need to talk to Aaron, see if he's found a place back there to put eternity in, but I'm quite sure he can't. when we're getting ready to renovate over there. Eternity's not going to be put in those little classrooms and all. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't have eternity in it, and therefore God cannot fill it, and therefore it cannot be the house of God. I had a very small part in the creation of two children and four grandchildren, and God put in them eternity and eternal emptiness. Hear this. An eternal emptiness that only He can fill, because that is how we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. No religion, church, houses, lands, occupations, education, money, family, marriage can fill that space. Only God by His Spirit can fill that space. Only God can. That's why musicians write about songs. I've said this before. Donovan, a long rock and roll star way back when I was very young, 16, 17, he wrote a song called Ricky Ticky Tavi. And he said, I'm looking for something and I don't know what I'm looking for. But he said, I know the day that I find it, I will find what I've been looking for. What is it? It's eternity. Janis Joplin. Some of the stuff that she said. What is it? Eternity. Marilyn Monroe is known to have locked herself up in bedrooms for 2 and 3 days at a time, weeping and sobbing and crying. And they say, what's wrong? She said, I don't know. Come out of rooms, eyes all swollen, puffed up. What's wrong? I don't know. I don't know. Why? Because being a Hollywood star and a starlet cannot feel this place called eternity. Only God can fill that space. I felt the Lord speak this to me, and so I'm going to read a lot of this. And when the Lord began to speak, I thought, you know, I think I need to go ahead and write this stuff down. The only biblical measurement of God is He exists. He exists, or I am. To understand who and what God is, I'm writing what He said, we must begin before the beginning. We must go outside and beyond time, because this is where the I am is. He is beyond time. He is the unlimited God, and He only fully exists outside of time. I'm telling you, He only fully exists outside of time. He is the self-existent one, the limitless one. And according to Psalms 90 verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Everlasting means vanishing point. Here, there is no time. It vanishes. There's God. Time starts, it's still God. When time ends and time vanishes, it's still God. He's from vanishing point to vanishing point. He has no ending. He has no beginning. Everything exists in Him. He is in everything. But everything exists or is alive in Him. I'm still reading what the Lord spoke to me. As the Creator, He was here first. He cannot create outside of Himself. He can only create inside of Himself. Or He cannot create outside of Himself. He can only create inside of Himself. Nothing can exist outside of the I Am. In choosing to call or identify Himself as the I Am, He chose existence as the only measurable, or better yet, as identifiable parameter to define Himself with and by. It's the only measurement. I exist. I don't quite understand all that, but He exists. In choosing to call or identify Himself, I just read this, as the I Am, He chose existence as the only measurable, or better yet, as identifiable parameter to define Himself with and by. No other measurement can be used in any way to describe God. even saying he fills all time and space. What does that word space mean, time and space? Space means the dimensions of height, depth, and width within which all things exist and move. So even saying he fills all time and space is by definition limiting God to time and space. And this is mainly the only way you and I know him is in time and space. But God wants us to know him way beyond and understand him beyond time, beyond space. More accurately, time and space only exist in him. I'm going to say that again. Only time and space exist in him, and they can have no existence apart from him. I understand for anyone to understand this, it will take the Holy Ghost for anyone to receive this, because I'm still chewing on this and trying to digest this stuff every day. I don't mean trying to figure it out. God said of Cornelius, there was a memorial built before God through his prayers and his offerings. And this memorial caused an angel to be sent to Cornelius. And we know the story, how that Peter was sent. Peter preached the gospel and they were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But the word memorial in the Greek, it's the same word when Mary washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, broke the alabaster box of ointment, and this will be a memorial. That word memorial in the Greek comes from a word that not only means remembrance or reminder, but hear this, it means to stay in the mind and chew. Memorial means to stay in the mind and chew. So the Word of God is supposed to stay in our minds and in our spirits and chew on us. I'm not talking about in a negative way, but just in us, working in us, not laboring to understand, but letting it work through our mind and our spirit, allowing God to put the pieces together. He said, well, I need to put the piece. No, you don't need to put anything. God will put it together for you. Then one day, all of a sudden, you say, oh, I see it. What's happened is you've allowed the Word of God to get inside of you and chew on you. Job 34:3, for the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. COVID really ruined that taste and meat stuff. But I tell you, there's nothing like tasting. You put something in your mouth and it's good and it's quality and the taste buds. And they talk about it explodes on the taste buds. And all these chefs and the way they talk. And it's like, man, I've never had that experience with any kind of food. I've had some good food, but not like you're describing. And so you chew on food and you taste food and then you get it inside of you and your stomach breaks it down and you begin to digest it and all the nutrients in the food begins to assimilate into your body and the weight and all of this stuff. He is saying, so is it as a memorial, the Word of God. If you and I can learn how to let the Word of God get in our mind and our spirit and begin to chew on us, and all of a sudden our body and our spirit man begins to assimilate the nutrients of the Word and it becomes a part of us, and then God by His Spirit begins to take the Word and He begins to connect this dot with this dot, and all of a sudden one day it just clicks and it's like, I see it. It's like the revelation of the oneness of God. It's a revelation. It's something God gets inside of you and you begin to chew on it and it begins to work in you, and one day somebody just wakes up and says, oh, I see it. I get it. And so I understand. Some of this stuff, it's going to have to get in. It's still chewing on me. Some of this stuff, it's like I heard what God said and I wrote it down, put it down, but I'm still chewing on it. Every doctrine of God or the Godhead originated from within the perspective of time and space is flawed from its inception. It's flawed. I'm going to say this again. Every doctrine of God or the Godhead originated from within the perspective of time and space is flawed. from its very inception. Every doctrine of God that originates from within time and space is flawed from the very beginning. Because to understand God, we must start from God and work into time and space. I said we've got to start with God who exists beyond the beginning. He's the existent one, the self-existent one. And from God, we work him into time and space. We cannot start with man and time and space and work outward to God to understand him. It's impossible. We can't do it. God can never be accurately identified, described, or understood from within time and space only. And I'm afraid that's where we are trying to understand God from within time and space. In doing that, in effect, it undeifies him because it denies him the most unique characteristic as God, his limitlessness. Any doctrine of God that does not harmonize with what the Bible says about God both before and after time cannot be true or a true teaching about God. I know that is easy to sit here and say. And we say, well, what does all this have to do with me? Everything. Everything. To me, the more I know and understand about God, the easier it is to have faith in him and trust him with everything about my life in all of its difficulties. I'm going to say that again. To me, the more I know and understand about God, the easier it is to have faith in him and trust him with everything about my life in all of its difficulties. Why? Because this too shall pass, but he won't. There is no situation that I am in that is permanent. Only God is permanent. This will change. I'm going to say it again. This will change. He won't. And here's the problem. There is no situation that I am in that is permanent. Only God is permanent. Look at somebody and say, your situation is not permanent. Oh, you think it is, but it's not. It will change. And here's the problem. If I focus on my problems, I will fail, I will fall, I will give up and quit if I focus on my problems. But if I focus on the one who is above all this and is in control of everything, I will make it. But I must know and understand him to trust him. Rather than viewing God from our perspective, we must view us and creation from his perspective. That alone is the source of and path of all truth. I'm going to say that again. That alone, what alone is the source of and path of all truth? Viewing God from creation. Viewing God. I can't view him from my perspective. I must start with God first. Everything must begin with God and not us. I know this sounds so simple, but how are we doing in living that? See, you start with God. And then God moves into time and space. But we start with our issue, and then we try to move outward to God. That's why I tell you all the time, you got to hear the voice of God. You got to find God's perspective. What's God saying about this? Why are you here? Why are you going through this? What is God's purpose? What is God's not going to manifest his power until you understand his purpose. What is the purpose of this? Why is this? See, if you don't know God and understand God, and I've said this, that's why people say, why are you doing this to me? Why? You're starting here, moving to God. When God said, if you'd start with me. There's purpose in all this. I am the I am. I'm the self-existent one. I live outside of time and space. Start with me. Find my purpose. find my perspective. And then you can know me and understand me, and you can put up with anything I bring into your life. See, we start here and move outward to God, and God said, no, you start out here where I'm at, and then I'll move into where you're at. And I know we're going to chew on that some. I know. I know this sounds so simple, but how are we doing in living that? Somebody has a look. Somebody has a tone of voice, and what is the first thing we do? We get all huffy because of that look, that tone of voice. Why? Because it's all about us. I'm going to say that again. Somebody has a look, somebody has a tone of voice, and what is the first thing we do? We get all huffy. Because of that look and tone of voice, why? Because it's all about us. Why do we make everything about us? Why are we so easily offended? Because it's about us. If I'm tuned into God, that is so irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Okay, so you have a problem. Yeah, you got a problem, but I'm not going to let you make your problem my problem. I will pray for you. God bless you, but I'm not going to let you make your problem my problem. I will not accept it. I'll pray for you. I'll love and care for you and do what I can to help you, but I will not take ownership of or internalize your problem. Why? Because I have a God who is above everything. He doesn't exist in time and space. He exists in eternity. And we'll find out next week how God comes into time and space. Nothing spiritual can begin with us without introducing error into our faith in God and perverting our relationship with Him. Every bit of me first Christianity is a perversion. All the Christian books, most of them I read, it's all about me. Every bit of me first Christianity, me first, is a perversion. All these self-help books. I read a book one time, How You Can Make God Do Something You Want Him to Do. He sold a lot of books. I don't know if anybody ever made God to do anything. If they do, it'll be the first time. See, we can neither understand God or His purpose for all of this by viewing Him only from within time. I know, I'm telling you what God's telling me, and I get it about as much as you're getting it. But it's getting inside of our minds and our spirits and our hearts, and it's going to chew on us. And I'm going to tell you, it may be next week, it may be 5 years from now, all of a sudden one day, it's getting it, and it's going to say, God's going to allow some other things. It's like, oh, I get it. Because it's a memorial. If we allow it to become a memorial. Either Himself or His plan can be accurately understood until viewed first and foremost from outside of the limitations of time and space. In summary, creation and the creative perspective cannot define God. Creation cannot define God. It can testify of God, but it cannot define God. God and Him alone defines creation. Creation does not define God. Why heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God will not pass away. The thing about time and human perspective, nothing stays the same. Everything changes. How many people are older now than you were 2 years ago? How many's felt certain little changes and shifts and all that stuff going on? Yeah. God doesn't change. I do. He doesn't. The thing about time and human perspective, nothing stays the same. Everything changes. The only unchangeable element in all of this is God. Unless we make Him part of our universe, and then He is subject to change with us. The question is, how did all this come about? And how do we communicate with a God who is outside of time and space? Next week, we're going to talk about how marvelous it is when a God who exists outside time and space chose to step into time and space. See, you didn't think I was teaching about the Godhead. I am. We got to get all this settled. The I am. We got to get before time. We got to get all that. See, there's nobody with Him in the beginning. None He knows of. Some people's a whole lot smarter than God. They know of two more that sat with Him.